It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Theron and Mary Jo Foley are here. They're in Vegas for a big Penn Media event. They're talking about Windows. And they've got some big, big news about Windows Threshold, Windows 9, the next version. The technical preview's coming. We'll talk about it next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Theron and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 380, recorded September 17th, 2014. Call of Minecraft. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free 2-week trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code Windows. And by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with Citrix ShareFile. Try ShareFile today for a 30-day free trial. Go to ShareFile.com, click the microphone, and enter Windows. And by Shutterstock.com. With over 40 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 20% off image subscription packages on new accounts, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code Windows914. It's time for Windows Weekly. The show. I'm practicing my Scottish.
That was my Transylvanian to Scottish.
Hello. I'm practicing my Scottish accent because when we secede from the UK, I want TWiT to be part of the grand new Scottish Empire. Hello, Paul Theron.
Hello, Leo.
Editor in chief of the Supersite for Windows, WinSupersite.com, author of many a book, including the Windows 8.1 Field Guide, all at windows81book.com. Mary Jo Foley, who is, of course, the prodigious, profligate. I'm not sure which word is better for you. Prodigious. Profligate. Blogger.
Prestigious.
Profligate and prolific blogger.
There's
a lot of P's that apply to her.
There are.
At ZDNet, of course, allaboutmicrosoft.com is her vanity URL. And today we are doing Windows Weekly from Vegas. What are you guys doing in Vegas?
That's a great question.
Ask myself that question.
Look at they're in the same room, somehow, oddly enough, identical rooms.
Yeah. They are amazingly identical.
Yeah, at the Aria Hotel. But your lamp seems broader, wider.
That's true.
Paul's got a 16x9 lamp, and you've got a 14x3 lamp.
Right.
It seems a 4x3 lamp. It seems unfair.
I think they remembered I had a really small apartment. They didn't want me to feel like I was in an unfamiliar space.
Yeah.
Leo, you know, if you go into like a CVS or a similar store, you can buy like a $99 or $69 tablet.
Yeah.
We have one of those on the table behind us.
Oh, dear.
You can kind of see it over Mary Jo's shoulder there.
Is it cheap Android? What is it made out of?
It is the cheapest thing I've ever. It's the type of thing where you have to really smack it with your finger to get it to do anything.
And what's on that they were so anxious to put it in your room?
This thing has more complex controls than a battleship. It is the craziest misuse of technology I've ever seen.
Actually, I remember talking to the guy who did the in-room electronics for the Aria, where you are, and the Cosmopolitan.
Mm-hmm. Was he an insane person? Because
he was a geek, but I'm sure he was doing what they told him to do. And if that's how they're selling. These are the two of the newer hotels in Vegas, and that's how they're selling it. You know, we're very modern. So it's to open the curtains, you have to press a tablet button?
Yep.
Well, there's also wall controls. Yeah. It's really nuts. And in the dark, God help you if you hit the wrong button. Every light in the frickin' room comes on at the same time.
I did that. Yep. My worst thing, though, was the toilet's in a little stall with a door, and it's kind of hidden. And when I got into my room,
glass, so you walk right into it.
I was like, there's no toilet in here. What?
Oh, you have the new toilet this room's, Mary Jo.
Yeah.
Right.
The tub has its own little stall, too. It's very
nice. That's nice. That's so you can splash away. This is for an event of some kind, of some sort? Are you there for
it's my company's IT dev connections. It's just in Las Vegas,
You mentioned that.
Here at the Aria.
Yeah, you mentioned that. So are you going to go home after this event and then come back here? What's the plan?
Yeah, that is what we're doing.
September 30th, Mary Jo nailed it. It is, in fact, the day of the first bits of Windows 9 will be released. The what is it? The technical preview? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, but I wouldn't say it that way. I would say we're going to get to see the bits.
Oh, mm-hmm. You don't think they'll release them?
I don't know if we'll get them that day because I originally heard sometime between late September, early October.
Yeah, I was going to say what I had heard was early October. So, yeah. We'll see. I Mary Jo and I think others had kind of discussed this notion of, so are we really going to fly out to San Francisco for a one-hour meeting 2 weeks from today?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
So, all right. And we're going to do a special, we're going to flip-flop that Windows Weekly with Security Now so that you can come back after that special meeting and do a special Windows Weekly. That
day is going to be insane. And so, Tuesday, we'll arrive the day before, but this event is what, 10 to 11 in the morning, Mary Jo? Is that right?
Or, yep. Mm-hmm. 10 to 11.
And then we're going to have to hop in a car and
Well, let's get them. We will get you a car. We'll get you an Uber or something.
No, whatever.
But I'm saying we'll have a driver for you. So you can relax in the back.
Could it be a robo driver?
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun? You're in a Johnny cab.
Can we have a hot tub and champagne?
Yeah, that would be awesome. All right. Let's do it.
Can we get a stretch Hummer for Ms. Foley and Mr. Therott?
This is when the 79 Corolla pulls up.
Right. With a big mustache.
Can we stop at Russian River, too? Can we, have stops along the way?
Yeah. Well, I know the real reason Mary Jo comes up here is for the beer.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely. I don't know how this happens. I have managed to not be here for almost every Windows announcement.
No, we are not taking that personally.
No.
It's not planned. I planned a trip to London a couple of months ago, so I won't be here. I think Father Robert Ballesterre will be with you. And it'll be fun. It'll be a very special edition of Windows Weekly on Tuesday, September 30th. And Mary Jo and Paul will have just emerged from the briefing. So this is not going to be a public briefing in that sense. Journalists are being brought in for this.
Yeah. They're not going to live stream it, right?
Okay.
Yeah. No live stream. It's very small, just a few tens of people will be there. And it's going to be Terry Meyerson, the head of the operating system group.
This is exciting.
And Joe B.
Joe Belfiore.
Yep.
Are you excited? You gotta be a little excited.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Leo, I love the thought of sitting in the back of a gigantic airplane for 6.5 hours so I can go to a 1 hour meeting and then hop in a car and drive for another hour and whatever. Yes, I'm excited.
And you can't wait, admit it. Come on, admit it.
No, I'm happy to do it. I mean, obviously, we got the invites and it was I'm gonna go.
It's an honor, too, if it's a small group to have received those invites. I mean, that acknowledges the stature that we all know you have as.
Or it acknowledges the fact that it's getting hard to find people to cover Windows. But
no. I'm
sure many people would have taken that invite off your hands.
I'd be there. Yeah. Look, how often does a new version of Windows come out?
Well, by the way, that's actually another interesting side point. You know, for all of the Windows is doomed kind of talk you see out there, something like this happens, and it's instant excitement, And I just find that to be very interesting. So, the brave new world isn't so terrible.
I saw a video. Do you think that's credible of the new UI, the new menu with little tiles in it?
Yeah, it's not surprising that this build or something, well, it's probably not the actual build, but something close to the build we're going to eventually get has leaked. It matches what we know. It matches what we saw, the very brief sort of still shot we'd seen previously. So it makes sense, from that perspective.
Here's the confidential agreement that German blog violated.
Yeah. The only thing I find to be, I always find one thing a little troubling, which is we've had some understanding now for some number of months. I mean, maybe dating back to the beginning of the year where little bits and pieces about Windows 9 have leaked out over time. And this build and the leaked videos and screenshots and so forth, basically correspond to everything that we knew was going to be in here. Literally everything and not one thing new, which I find to be a little strange.
Do you think maybe there are some new things we don't know about and they're being carefully protected?
Yep.
Well, I mean, it's hard to know how or why that happened exactly. But we know this, it was described to me as a next step or a next chapter, the build being the first. And then some eventual consumer-focused release in the future would probably be the third step or chapter. Right. So what we're going to see here is primarily you know, business focused, enterprise focused. And I think that means you're going to see a desktop. It's going to look a lot like Windows 7, and it's going to be really easy for those folks to move up. And I think that's the point.
In our chat room, No Market Share makes an interesting comment. He thinks maybe Joe B being there means we'll hear more about a Windows Phone RT merge. Does that no?
No,
not there.
Doesn't mean
not
that.
There.
Doesn't
no, mean that. This enterprise tech preview, it's all about the enterprise. Like, that's why the enterprise name is in there. And that merged version is what we're going to hear about in January or February when the next preview comes.
And the other thing I just noticed is that Joe B is not relegated just to Windows Phone or this new merger stuff. I mean, this is just the Windows team now. So Terry Myerson and Joe B are the Windows team. You know, it's not a separate thing.
Right.
So what do you think? I mean, I guess it's really, you can't tell from videos and screenshots. I have to say they're doing things like the notifications. I like seeing that.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm pedantic enough and that there are going to be things that bother me. You know, if the notification center uses the same icon from the Action Center in Windows Phone, but they don't call it Action Center, that kind of thing's going to bother me. and so we'll see how it all kind of comes out. This leak thing is not activated. You know, that's how these things work, right? So these guys don't have a product key. So we're not seeing everything. We're not seeing all of the...
Right.
You know, we're seeing a really ugly looking desktop, and some of the icons have been updated, some haven't. So you get that kind of weird mix of old and new. This is just a step, you know. It's part way there. So,
yep.
I think it's going to be fine. I mean, I think you need to set expectations. I've been talking all year about how, you know, they're going to call this thing Windows 9 to differentiate it and move it past the Windows 8 stuff. But you know, really, it's Windows 8 too. I mean, This is not, you know, we're announcing a new architecture and a completely new code base, and we're going to have a new runtime model. And, you know, this is just a further enhancement of what they had, which, by the way, is absolutely fine. It's actually good that Windows is at that point, right, where they don't have to have a major revolution like they did with Windows 8. But, you know, I know some people are going to look at this and say, well, you know, what about the Metro stuff? What about, you know, what about using this on a tablet and consumer stuff? And it's just not, Windows is not there yet.
Not yet. Not yet. We're going to hear that later.
I have to say though, just looking at this, it looks like it's kind of what you'd expect, and an improvement. I like the idea of both having a start menu and some tiles in there. Mm-hmm. That doesn't bother me. I know it bothers some people, but
that's the point. You know, you mix and match these things. So I actually think segregating the tiles from that list on the left is a little strange. I'm curious to see how that works out in real life, but
it almost feels like an ad banner. Kind of. I mean, it's just sitting there.
Yep. Yeah. It's so busy that you might just ignore it, you know.
right.
But, you know, the ability to mix and match applications and mobile apps on the desktop in floating windows side by side, you know, a very native experience is really just a continuation of something they started way back in, I want to say, Windows 7, where that version of Internet Explorer, you could pin web apps to the taskbar and use them side by side with normal Windows applications very naturally. And adding Metro apps, you know, those modern apps to that scheme, I think is really smart.
Yeah.
And
as long as I can control what's there.
It lets people use them, you know, in ways that make sense. So
plus, before we heard a leak saying this start menu would be the way that, like a replacement almost for the start screen, right?
And that's not what we see here.
No. And so I wonder if this is something, you know, that we're just seeing half of the picture, kind of.
Or, you know, it may just work out that this is the easy way to do it, right? I mean, and who knows, maybe we'll hear how that all came about. But the way, what Mary Jo's alluding to is that right now in this build, you can flip a switch somewhere and go back to the old start screen if you want.
Oh.
Now, you know, we don't know what this looks like on a tablet. This thing's running in a VM. So what you're seeing is a super desktop-oriented experience. Right. Yeah. You know, we know in Windows 8.1 today that your computer will boot up to the desktop if you have a traditional type of computer with a keyboard, and it will boot up to the start screen if you have a tablet. And so maybe it's possible that type of thing will still occur in Windows 9, and you'll see a more tablet-y, touch-based UI that will have some sort of charms thing going on that you don't see here, because the charms in this build are attached to each modern window.
And there's the Windows 8 UI still there.
Yeah. Now, see, these guys don't ever show you, like, do they ever try to go enable the charms?
I don't know. Yeah, but I mean, you could.
Yeah, I don't think they do. I mean, you know, this, I look at this and a bunch of questions come to my mind immediately, but I can't, you know, I need to have the...
Here's a Metro app shown as windowed.
Yeah, and it ran windowed even though we launched it from the start menu.
Right.
Start screen, sorry. So that suggests either something major has changed or it's doing something smart and saying, well, you're doing this from a desktop computer.
Right, so we'll give you a desktop.
So we give you the desktop window, It's and who knows? There's probably interfaces to control that too. You know, we don't see everything.
Right. Well, so what's the general reaction to this video, these leaks?
Resignment, Leo.
You know, it depends who you are. If you're a power user, you're like, ugh, right? Like, I don't need all this stuff. I already figured Windows 8 out. That's what a lot of them are saying.
Right.
If you're an enterprise user, this is probably like, oh, finally, this looks like something I might use. Huh.
Yeah,
and that's the point, right? I mean, this is the enterprise release. Mary Jo, I think, was the one who had come up with that some time ago, that this first technical preview would be enterprise-focused. And, you know, that's very much what we see, you know, desktop.
It's exciting. Yeah,
and we
like
should
this.
Say, as somebody's noting on Twitter, we don't know if this is going to be called Windows 9 when it comes out.
Right.
Inside Microsoft, they call this Windows 9, we've heard. But there's been indications Microsoft might be moving towards rebranding all of its operating systems Windows, right? So if it does, Windows is the operating system on phone. This could be Windows also. Right. We don't know yet on the branding.
Okay. Great.
They should start using cat names.
Yeah. Why not? Somebody's done that. Who?
You sure? I've never heard of that.
All right. IE12 coming too, yes?
Yeah. So that was an interesting little tidbit. There's something in the screenshots that's, you can see it says Z Spartan when they have one of the pull downs from the start menu. And that is what IE12 is. We don't ever see that in action. I don't even know if that's really there in the build or if it's not activated again, so we don't know if it's there. But Brad Sams at Neowin had said he heard that the next version of IE was going to look more like Chrome and Firefox, and Microsoft's really going to change the UI quite a bit, and that there also could possibly be support for extensions in the next version of IE. That's what I'm hearing, too. So that will be interesting. How they do that and what kind of technology is behind that to make that work. We don't know any of that yet, but hopefully we're going to see some of that too.
Yeah,
the Z app stuff is a convention that dates back to Windows Phone. You know, if you get the prototype phone or an earlier version of the OS, sometimes you'll see Z apps on there. And there, you know, there are obviously apps that aren't ready for public consumption.
That's like a standard descriptor.
Yeah.
And then Spartan, of course, is from Halo, and that follows in the threshold naming scheme.
Yep. Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that. Yep. Oh, yeah, Spartans, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh. Let's see. Okay, so there we've read the tea leaves, and they're pretty big tea leaves.
Yep.
I just think, you know, this is it's a weird thing. I'm not sure why this is bugging me, but again, you know, in the past, when I've obtained leaks builds, and especially when you get someone like Raphael to kind of uncover what's going on in there, you find things that are new. And I find it fascinating that I've pored over these videos and screenshots, and all I see is confirmation of every single thing we've ever heard about this build. Like, there is not anything new in here that I can think of. And I'm a little weirded by that. I'm surprised there isn't just one thing, something.
You know, we've gotten so many leaks so far on what's in threshold, like from everybody's kind of scouring the planet for this. So we've gotten a lot of stuff. So that might be one reason too. You know, it's not a big surprise, but also there's probably hidden stuff, and maybe a lot of stuff won't even be out in this preview at all. Like, this is just meant again for enterprises to reassure them that things are not going to be crazy.
So far, it's like an Apple launch, Leo, is what I'm saying. You know, I feel like I've heard about everything before the actual event. But
nice.
Actually, lately, there haven't been any secrets that are well kept.
I know. Yep.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. The rumor mill is good.
It is very strange.
Yeah. Although, Tim Cook did tell Charlie Rose, no, there's stuff you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very easy to say something like that. Yeah,
right.
You know, and then you go back to campus and you're like, okay, guys, seriously.
We're venting the Apple tire. We've got it here. He didn't say, it'd make a point that he didn't say he was releasing it, just that we're working on stuff you don't know about.
Well, of course they're working on stuff.
Duh. We've got these new doorknobs for the campus we're really excited about.
I'm cleaning up my cellar, Leo, just because I haven't announced it to the world. You know.
Hey, our show today brought to you by Squarespace. If it's time to make a new website, it's time to visit squarespace.com. Click that Get Started button, and you'll get a chance to play with Squarespace in its entirety for a whole 2 weeks. You don't have to give them a credit card. You don't have to give them any personal information except your email address. So if you forget your password, they can at least get that to you. It is so easy to use. And I want you to play with Squarespace because I want you to get a sense of what Squarespace can do. This is state-of-the-art modern design. And, you know, as somebody who's spent a lot of money updating his website fairly frequently to keep it up with the standards of the web, the web's changing faster and faster and faster. It's nice to have a site that is always state-of-the-art and modern without you doing anything. I'll give you an example. Every Squarespace template is mobile responsive. That means when you upload content to Squarespace, it's designed to look great no matter what size screen, from a 3.5-inch iPhone to a 30-inch display all the way up to a HDTV, your website always looks great. You don't have to have a separate mobile site. Squarespace handles all this in the background for you. The best hosting, the best content management system. Always makes Paul depressed when I talk about Squarespace because he has to deal with his own CMS issues. Squarespace, poor Paul.
No comments.
Poor Paul. We use Squarespace for our blog, and we love it. You cannot bring it down. There's such good hosting.
I can be happy for other people. It's okay.
Yeah, no Schadenfreude here. Easy to use. If you want help, though, they've got live chat and email support 24/7. Not outsourced. It's from Squarespace's headquarters in New York City, from actual Squarespace engineers. Plus, there's a completely redesigned customer help site, so you've got access to self-help articles, video workshops. They really do it right. And all this, I love it, starts at $8 a month. And not only is it $8 a month, but when you register for a year, you get your domain name free. Every Squarespace template has commerce. So even on the $8 a month thing, you can take donations or have a cash wedding registry, a school fund drive. They've got apps for iPhone and iPad, like the Metric app that allows you to check site stats like page views. You can make your own logo. They got great little logo design. I mean, it just goes on and on. It's really a great place. And the nice thing is you can try it for free. You don't have to give them a credit card. You don't even have to give them our offer code. Just visit squarespace.com. Choose your template and start. And if you say, hey, you don't have to agonize. If you're like Josh Windisch here in our office, he agonizes about every choice. Just pick one, because you can import your content, because you can change it with the click of a mouse. You can change to a different template, and the content's all preserved. The images are preserved. The SEO is preserved. It's really a nice job from the great folks at Squarespace. I want you to visit squarespace.com. If you do decide to buy, use the offer code Winders. No, that's, I shouldn't say it like that. You'll spell it wrong. Windows. Windows, and you'll get 10% off your new site. It really is fabulous. Squarespace.com. A better web awaits, and it starts with your new Squarespace site. Don't forget to use the offer code Windows with your new site to save 10%. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, Windows Weekly on the air. Shall we move to the next topic? Are we done talking about leaks?
I think so.
All right. Topic two, changes at Microsoft. Layoffs are imminent. Wait a minute, didn't we just do, is this, am I looking at the old outline? What's the story?
Yeah, there's, you know, when Microsoft announced they were going to lay off 18,000 people in July, they said there'd be, this would happen in waves. And so the first wave was 13,000 people who got cut in July. And tomorrow, supposedly, a next round of people is being cut across all different divisions. We don't know how many, but since they, I don't think it's going to be all 5,000, but it's going to be quite a few people, I think. And it's going to be worldwide, multiple divisions, including Redmond. And we don't really know yet which teams specifically, which kind of job functions. But yeah, tomorrow, my sources are saying, is the day. And, I'm not gloating, not being happy about it, but yeah, it's coming. So people probably have heard or have an inkling, I would think, if they're among those who may be
cut. I was telling Mary Jo last night that I'm in kind of this awkward position where I've got someone from Microsoft who has confirmed this story for me. Only one person. And it occurred to me that, well, he probably did hear this at work. It's probable that the originator of this story was, in fact, Mary Jo Foley. And that and that that's how it got back to him. So I don't actually, I'm not 100% sure about that.
Yeah. But,
yeah. So we'll see. It's, what is this, Wednesday, right? So we'll know tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow, Thursday.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, we, and, you know, when Nadella announced in July that these cuts would be happening, he said, we're going to try to make this as painless as possible, even though we're doing it in waves. And we're going to try to have most people who are being cut notified in the first 6 months after this memo
goes
out.
It's so hard because you know there's going to be people cut, and
I know.
And you could be you and you don't know, and you're going to have to just sit there and stew. Yep. But that's, I understand, it's a massive company.
Yeah. Yeah. They were 125,000 or so before the cuts started happening.
Yeah.
So that, yep, big. Definitely big.
Right.
I have much more sympathy than I used to for this now that I'm a business owner. Mm-hmm. There's a certain, when you have a business, there's a certain amount of, I don't want to say ruthlessness, but there's a certain, you have to detach yourself. It's a little bit like a chess game where, yeah, you know, sometimes you have to sacrifice some pieces.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do it, but it just happens. And it's a bad thing, and you try to make it as good as you can. Obviously, Microsoft's spending a lot of money on severance packages. People aren't being just left, you know, to hang in the wind.
So I think the figure was, 1.1 to 1.4 billion in severances and related expenses.
That's as good as you can do it, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
And some of the people some will get picked up again by other divisions, too.
Right. Well, and Apple's hiring.
That's true.
And somebody saying, Microsoft.
Yeah, right. Isn't that funny? Effin Dunn is saying in our chat room, you know, if you're a survivor, that's hard too. And that I do have experienced.
Yep.
Remember Tech TV had big layoffs. Mm-hmm. I was at the airport and I just kept getting calls from people saying I've been laid off. And, you know, that you're sitting there in your cubicle and people are trooping into the manager's office, coming out crying. And you're just sitting there and it's very hard. Very hard. So, yeah, our sympathies to everybody at Microsoft.
Yep.
And, new members of the board. The board's going to change too. Are they firing the board?
No, it's not Steve Jobs running the company.
Well, we know Ballmer retired.
Yeah.
What else?
Well, basically, two people are stepping down at the end of their term, which I think ends in December.
Oh, I didn't know they had terms. What's the term?
Well, it's that's a good question. I'm not really sure. I assume they're good.
Yeah, I think it's a shareholders meeting. You are going to decide whether you want to be up for re-election or not.
So Dina Dublon was there for 9 years. So that's a long time.
Well, yes.
And Dave Marquardt, I'm not sure how long.
1981.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I know. He was one of the original board members.
Yep. See, I think being a board member is kind of a sinecure. I mean, I know it can't be very hard, and it's good money. It's hundreds of – it's at least, you know, it's six figures. And you've got several meetings a year. You go and, you know, you listen to Bill, you listen to Steve, you listen to Satya, you nod your head a little bit.
Yeah, you all fly in your private jets.
You have a nice lunch.
Eat at a swanky restaurant.
I'd take the job. I mean, it's an easy job.
Yeah.
Do you think there's pressure if you're a member of a board? Like,
depends on the company, right? And it depends on who's running the company. I'm sure when someone like Bill Gates or Steve Jobs is running a company, the pressure is on the board, you know, that you're going to do what I have to say. And, you know, different CEOs have a different kind of dynamic with the board. In some companies, the board's very powerful and the CEO isn't. And, you know, it just depends.
This is interesting, though. It's a fairly new board. Most of the members had joined in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and that's actually the thing I find most interesting and most telling and why maybe this is a story. I think it was 6 of the 10 or 6 of the 11 or whatever it is have come on board since 2012. And, you know, to me, I sort of would position this story as, you know, that's part of this remaking or reimagining or whatever, transformation of Microsoft. You know, that, you know, Satya Nadella's got this new strategy, but you see it everywhere. You see it in the products. We talk about that, you know. You see it in the services and you see it in the makeup of the company. You know, the layoffs are part of that too, really. I mean, you're trying to get a company that's better adapted to the way things are today, not the way they were 20 years ago.
Yeah.
All right. And Microsoft's saying that this new makeup is positive for Microsoft because blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. What else would they say?
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. Microsoft buys Minecraft. We buried the lead. I retweeted somebody. I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. Who said, this is a test to see how old you are. Complete. Fill in the blanks.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Wasn't that brilliant? Blank, 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 FT. And, of course, I looked at it and go, oh, it's Microsoft. What else could it be? And then I realized it could also be Minecraft.
Minecraft, yeah.
And I bet you younger people look at that and say Minecraft.
Yep.
Okay, so, you know, buying your way into a cool and a certain niche audience is interesting. And I'm not actually suggesting that this thing has the limited shelf appeal of an Angry Birds or a Candy Crush or anything like that. I get that there's a community, and I think it is obviously a big deal. It's an interesting choice at a time when Microsoft is getting out of the content game to buy essentially content, especially cross-platform content. You know, when they bought Bungie, they were bringing Halo to Xbox, and that was the deal. It was not going to be on the Mac. It was not going to be elsewhere, although actually Halo did appear in Windows and the Mac. But, you know, the point of that was to get an exclusive, you know, franchise. And so this one, I don't know. I've seen so many explanations for why this makes sense, and I've never really bought into any of them, you know, that this has something to do with a developer strategy because, you know, you can build stuff with it, you know.
Right.
I don't know. I don't, you know, we'll see what happens. But.
Yeah. When Nadella did his strategy memo in July, I remember thinking at the time this was weird. He said, we're going to really support this stuff called digital work and life experiences. So we think of that as software and services, right? Some consumer, some enterprise. But then he called out as a separate category, games and gaming. And he said, you know what? We are going to keep the Xbox around, but the thing we're really excited about are games and gaming, because games are one of the biggest applications on mobile platforms. That's right. Why we want to be there. So I think this is why they're doing this.
Part of an expansion to mobile games.
Right. And you know, it's just another category in their whole digital and work life experiences. Some of those things are work, some are play. But yeah, I remember when the memo came out, I'm like, wow, that's weird. They're calling out gaming and they're saying, you know, we're going to do like SQL Server and machine learning and all this stuff.
And Minecraft.
And gaming. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I think
is there a Hadoop tie into Minecraft that I'm not aware of? Is it Minecraft made in Java?
You know what?
It is.
Yes, it is. And
which is, that raises an interesting question. We'll have to port it to C Sharp.
Happy history of Java. I don't see any problems.
They can make a .NET version of Minecraft. You know, the thing I find interesting, the guy who created Minecraft, Notch, I love him. He said, you know, I'm just bored with the thing. I didn't want to run a big company. I'm just a nerdy programmer.
Sure.
He got fed up last year because they made some changes to the server rules, and he was just savaged on Twitter. Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
That's what Twitter is for, isn't it?
Exactly.
And but he said, I don't need this. I'm selling the company.
Yep.
Right. Walks away with more than $1 billion because he's a majority stakeholder. And he says, see, I'm happy. I think almost more than half of the times these kinds of acquisitions, these massive acquisitions, nothing really comes of it from the company buying it. They have lots of money. It's international money. What the heck?
Yep.
Overseas, and somebody gets insanely rich, and I'm happy for them. It's like the Mark Cuban thing. Like, you know, Yahoo didn't do anything with Broadcast.com, but Mark Cuban came out all right.
Sure.
And I got to think that's the same with WhatsApp, with Twitch, with all of these billion-dollar acquisitions, Instagram.
Right.
Somebody's walking away happy, and these big companies can afford it. Apple can afford to spend $3 billion on Beats headphones.
I can afford things I don't buy, too. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, at some point there's a justification. I've often joked with my wife, you know, you go to Costco and it's like, you don't buy a 6 gallons of, you know, butter just because it's a good price. Like, we don't really need that. So, you know,
Paul, you're not thinking like a mogul.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, maybe.
That's a good deal. I'm buying the butter.
At some point, somebody had to justify to somebody why this made sense. I'd love to see that explanation.
It sounds so much like the conversations I had after Apple bought Beats. Like, but so, yeah. So, I mean, we talked about this last week,
right?
We talked about this last week. It was international money. They couldn't repatriate without paying taxes. Yep. So they've been buying internationally. Yep. I was trying to figure out how much revenue Minecraft is making. It was in the hundreds of millions. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, I mean, it needs to be more than that to justify the $2.5 billion acquisition. Well,
the games are very temporary too. I mean, you know, you can be. You have to be really careful.
Tell Zynga. They bought OMG Pop.
Angry Birds and, you know, the Candy Crush guys
were
the biggest things in the world for 15 minutes.
I think Minecraft is different.
I don't think
Minecraft is Angry Birds. I think it's more like Lego, where it is a system that Microsoft... It's more like buying Halo. It's better than that, even. It's not just a franchise. It's better than that. It is. Yeah. It is almost a system. It's like buying an operating system. It's a platform that Microsoft, if done right, of course, could benefit for decades. This is not a flash in the pan.
Yep. How about Minecraft as a service, guys? Think about that.
Well, they'll move it to Azure. Right now it's running on AWS.
Yep. Right. They'll move it to Azure. Maybe sell things like, instead of add-on packs, add-on subscription. You know?
You can expect a healthy couple of rounds of this sort of crap never happened before. Microsoft bought this thing when something goes down or something doesn't work right or the inevitable part.
I think Minecraft players, first of all, they're very young.
Yeah.
And I disagree with the articles that say this is to add some hipness to Microsoft's image.
I don't think that's it.
BS. Who cares? No, I'm sorry. No 11-year-old's now going to say, I like Microsoft.
You want that market for people that can't buy anything themselves.
Even 10 years from now, that's not the point.
Yeah.
But it's a valuable franchise in and of itself. It's on Xbox.
And you hook kids early.
By the way, a lot of adults play this game, too. Let's be fair.
Yeah, they do.
It's a great...
It's like the Harry Potter of games. You know, it's kind of cross-generational.
Chad's like becoming the Minecraft guy.
Yeah.
I think there's nothing wrong with... I think this is actually a sensible purchase. More sensible than Apple buying headphones, to be honest.
I see so many people going, this makes no sense. I'm thinking, you know what? I actually think this makes more sense than Skype.
Skype was a lot more money, too. Not to spend too much time on Beats, but I mean, the big thing for Beats... about Beats to me is the subscription service.
Right.
This is something Apple did not have. And whenever and however they finally integrate that into their...
We'll see when I get the iPhone on Friday if it has Beats on it. You know, the demo ones in the Apple event had Beats Music.
And by the way, how about buy an iPhone at some huge cost and get like a free year of Beats?
I don't know why they didn't do that. Because that's one thing they need to do. They need to get people... signing up for Beats now. Beats is late to the market. It's there's everybody everybody I know is deciding on Spotify or Audio or something.
In reviewing that, I found Beats to be excellent.
It's very good. It's completely competitive with the other ones, but most people already have a subscription. If we're going to get one, maybe
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. Well, anyway, this is not the Apple show. So,
I'm just saying. You know, from a technology purchase standpoint, there is an interesting comparison to be made.
I agree. And I think people were as befuddled by the one as the other. I feel like Minecraft, to me, is not just another game. It is a platform. And it has more legs on it, and there's a lot you can do with it. More than a franchise like Halo, even. It is a platform that can go all sorts of places.
They should make a Call of Minecraft mod where you can play Call of Duty, but it looks like Minecraft.
Totally.
Oh, man.
I guarantee you they will. Yeah. Why wouldn't they?
Sure.
I think there's so much you can do with Minecraft. I'm really impressed with the community. The Minecraft community is incredible.
Yep.
This is if you could buy a group of people... I mean, that's what you're buying, right? You're not buying the technology. You're buying the fans.
Yeah. You hope they stick with you. Yeah.
I think they will. Why wouldn't they? They don't care if you don't screw it up. I mean, Microsoft could screw it up, but if you don't screw it up, why don't they care? They don't care who's running it. Do we care who owns Bungie? Not really.
Yeah. Well, there is a contingent. I saw a number of people reporting this saying people who are Minecraft fans are really upset about Microsoft buying them. And
it's 1/10 of 1%.
Exactly.
It's the small group that even knows that this happened.
I know. Yep.
You can ask Michael. Hey, who owns Minecraft? He'll say Notch. He will say Notch for the rest of his life. He'll say Marcus Pearson. He won't say Marcus Pearson. He doesn't know who Marcus Pearson is. He'll say Notch.
Right. My nephew, who's 10, when I told him that Microsoft might buy Minecraft, he's like, don't they already own Minecraft?
You see? There you go. They don't know.
Yeah.
I think it would be hard for Microsoft to screw this up, frankly.
Oh, don't say that, Leo. You'll jinx it.
Microsoft is capable.
Apparently, they
don't discount it.
Oh, I know their ability is as with any big company. Curtis P's telling me in the chat room that the new Apple TV update came out and it includes Beats Music. Mm-hmm. So, nice. So maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Interesting. I'd love to see Minecraft, that's the thing. Maybe people are a little worried about that. If you're savvy, might worry you. Oh, does that mean the end of a PS4 version? Does that mean the end?
No, they've said it does not.
No, of course not. Why would you?
By the way, Microsoft is
cross-platform,
falling over itself to be cross-platform. Yes.
These days,
ludicrous.
And another good reason to buy Minecraft and prove it.
But here's what the real complaint is going to be about Minecraft going forward. You know, for all of the hand-waving and stuff, this is what's really going to happen. Why did Microsoft improve Minecraft on whatever platform before Windows? That's what you're going to hear. It's going to be something like that. It's not going to be Microsoft drops support for PS4 or PS3 or whatever. Right. It's going to be Microsoft supports these other platforms better than their own, you know, that kind of thing. So no worries for Minecraft users. Just worries for Microsoft guys.
Yeah.
You know, that worry about those kind of things.
Yeah.
Satya Nadella may have just explained the mobile half of mobile half cloud first. What do you mean by that?
I never talked to Mary Jo about this. I'm curious what she thinks. You know, so I know you saw the GeekWire post. Todd Bishop was nice enough to transcribe what he said in response to a question. So Satya Nadella was appearing at a major industry event. Let me see if I can find the name of it. It's hilarious.
Was it the Rotary Club?
Yeah, the Rotary Club meeting.
So I think it was.
He talks to the Rotary Club? Was it the Seattle area Rotary Club?
It was
annual meeting of the Rotary Club.
The big, the big national one. All right. Yeah.
It's just hilarious. Yeah, Seattle Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce. It's the annual lunch. This is a serious event.
We do that. We speak to the chamber. I think that Satya should speak to the Seattle Chamber.
Yeah, so somebody asked him what he was going to do about Windows Phone. And the fact that, you know, Windows Phone didn't have any reasonable market share. Now, in the past few months, you've heard terms like, you know, we're going to make the market for Windows Phone. He's talked about that kind of stuff. And he didn't go in that direction at all, actually. He said that this is not about phones or a particular phone or a particular device. People switch devices all the time. That the center of this is people, which he has said before. And that they're very grounded in this cross-platform world. You're going to see Microsoft icons on every phone, whether it's Windows Phone or not. And that is his goal.
This is very right on.
Yep.
Yeah, this is astute.
This freaks people out. Mm-hmm. He very specifically said that this is not about building market share from Windows Phone, which obviously a certain group is going to be really freaked by. And then he's reiterating the thing that freaks out a lot of Microsoft guys, which is just this notion that I was just talking about of Microsoft promoting its products and services on other platforms before Windows. You know, remember in the old days, it was Windows only. And then for a while, it was kind of like Windows first. And then we've been kind of clinging to this notion that, okay, well, they're going to go cross-platform, but it will always be better on Windows. And, you know, the truth is you don't really hear them talking about that very much.
Right on.
What they talk about is cross-platform.
And, you know, it's not a knock on Bill or Steve, because maybe in that era it made sense to say Microsoft first. But we are in a different era. Yep. Cloud first, mobile first makes a lot of sense. And why would Microsoft eschew any portion of the market in order to promote?
It's insanity, right? You look at there are going to be 1.2 billion smartphones sold this year. Four times the size of the PC market.
This is just astute. You know, this is just right on. And that to me, it means they chose the right guy to run the company. Hmm. I think.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. I think so too. But like I said, you know, for a serious percentage of the people who would read something that I would write or Mary Jo would write or listen to this podcast, this sticks them the wrong way. I mean, this is disquieting. You know, this is unsettling. Yeah. So, Mary Jo, I'm sorry, I've been talking a lot. So, what did you think?
I agree with what you just said, and I think, you know, think about it. If you're the CEO and someone's like, "What are you going to do with this phone? 2.5% market share. It's a piece of crap. Why are you investing it? Why are you continuing to pour money into it?" Your answer is, you know, it's part of the mobile first thing, right? It's like, we're there, we're everywhere, and you know what? We're going to have our own offering, but our main thing is to try to have productivity software, services for everybody who's in mobile. And right now in the U.S., especially, the leading mobile platforms are iOS and Android. It's him acknowledging reality instead of sticking
and,
his head
and saying, we've got a business here.
Right.
He said, yes, this is the
we
quote.
We need to make money.
And we are very grounded on this cross-platform world. One of the things you'll find is Microsoft icons on any phone, irrespective of whether it's a Windows phone or not. That's our core goal. Things like Office, things like Skype are broadly available. And Minecraft, he says, on every eight-year-old's phone for sure. Well, not just eight.
Yeah. And by the way, I mean, this is something I have been writing about this year. I mean, I have iPhones and Android phones, and you know, you can configure these things in such a way that it's a Microsoft phone, you know.
Right.
It has all your Microsoft accounts. It has all your important Microsoft applications and access to the services. I've talked a lot this year about how you can back up any phone to OneDrive instead of using whatever the native thing that's built in, and how great that is. And that, you know, this is a little weird, but it kind of reminds me of that Bill Gates' appearance at Macworld that year when he vowed to support the Mac, and and Steve Jobs said, you know, we need to get over this notion, we meaning the Apple community at the time, that for Apple to win, Microsoft has to lose. And, you know, the shoe was on the other foot, or what, however you say that. But we meaning the Microsoft community, the community of people that, you know, kind of back the stuff, use it and support it, need to get over this notion that, you know, for Microsoft to succeed, it needs to ignore these other platforms, or that those other platforms have to sort of lose, whatever that means, you know, instead of embracing the reality of what people are really using and doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is realism.
There's a lot of people who say, hey, you know what? Google won't support Google services on Microsoft. So we should do X. Yeah. You know, and it doesn't work that way, sadly. It's just like, Microsoft's probably trying to find a way right now to get Google services to run.
The funny thing is, I think Microsoft is run by grown-ups. I think Google's run by grown-ups. Right. We, as the users, might be childish enough to say, oh! Yeah. But really, I think Eric Schmidt said this. He said, you know, the trade press acts as if it's a war and it's us versus them. And we don't think of it that way. This is a world where we all have to work together, and we're trying to make as much money and be as successful as we can. And so is the other guy.
Sure.
I think that's an adult way of looking at business.
Well, the thing that's curious about this to me kind of generally is just that, you know, a lot of these, you know, if it was the Mac versus the PC back in the day, iOS versus Android today, whatever it is, however you want to frame these platform wars, you know, you get into a lot of sort of almost religious type arguments, emotional arguments, you know. And I've always sort of thought that on the Microsoft side of the fence, if you will, the world in which I work and play, that, you know, people tend to be more pragmatic and logical, and that, you know, you don't get a lot of that kind of religious stuff. But, you know, you really see it on this topic. You really see it. People are really freaked by this. And it's interesting how that comes out.
It's funny.
And I don't mean to say it has to be fixed, but I mean, I don't know how you fix it. I don't know how you.
I do wish that Google supported Windows Phone better. I feel it's anti-competitive that they haven't. It's the thing that keeps me from using Windows Phone. I love it. It's weird. You know, my 1520 died. I still haven't got a replacement, although Microsoft's press folks sent me a review unit.
Oh.
Nice.
Well, I got to return it. I don't do review units.
When it asks for it back, just send back the other one.
Bingo.
But
this is why I don't do review units, why I actually spent $700 on the 1520, is because I don't want to send it back. I want to keep it going with my data, and I want to invest in it, because I don't think you can really use a phone unless you commit to it.
We could beat this thing to death, but I mean, you know, Google not supporting Windows or Windows Phone with their services
crazy.
Does suck. But it is also fair to mention, then why on the Microsoft side does Windows Phone support Gmail/Google Calendar natively using those crazy Google protocols on Windows Phone, but not on Windows?
Right.
You know, Microsoft is the one not doing that, not Google. All Microsoft has to do is write to those APIs that exist. And they're doing it on phone. They're not doing it on Windows. And I don't understand that.
Maybe that'll change with Threshold, since they're combining the SKUs, you know?
Yeah, okay. But Windows 8 came out 2 years ago. I mean, I don't understand. I know. You know, Windows 8.1 came out last year. I mean, why?
I felt like it was a line in the sand at that point, and now we have different managers running Windows.
I just find it bizarre this didn't just pop up as an update in April 2013 or April 2014.
Yeah, I agree.
Date. Like, it makes no sense. So it's not just Google.
It's not. I was just going to say, what about the Kindle stuff and Amazon? Same thing, right? Yep.
And there's Microsoft, you know, showing up the door with their hat in their hand. You know, here's the apps you want.
Phone.
Here's OneDrive. Yep. Here's OneNote. Yep. For the phone that potentially sold 35,000 copies. You can get OneDrive and that stupid thing, but you can't get Google anything on Windows Phone, basically. That's crazy.
Tough.
It's too bad.
Yep.
Or a decent Kindle app. Those people.
Where is Brandon Watson when you need him?
Oh, gosh.
Call him.
Oh, well. Is Google? Somebody's saying that Google's not making Waze anymore for Windows Phone.
Making
Waze, W-A-Z-E. Was that ever available on Windows Phone?
Thought it was.
Yeah, I thought it was too.
So apparently they bought Waze, you remember, and they're going to kill them.
Yeah.
Right.
See, I was wrong. Google is childish.
Yeah, I think they are too.
That's kind of childish.
By the way, Google, humongous company. It's unclear whether this comes down from the top or if this is just some cross-divisional thing. Who knows? Who cares, I guess. But, I just know from talking to people at the Microsoft side, they've tried to work. Windows Phone guys tried to work with Google, and that never really worked out.
Now we remember that YouTube fiasco.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely insane.
Yep. I'm hearing from one of my contacts. They are killing Waze on Windows Phone. No more updates.
Well, that's childish.
Yep.
That's not like saying, well, we have limited resources, so we're not going to do it. We're not going to do Google Plus for Windows Phone because it's too small a market. No, they already have the app.
Yeah.
It's just to maintain it. Mm-hmm. I think that's childish. I think that's anti-competitive. Disappointing.
Yeah, I do too.
That's disappointing.
It's unfortunate, yeah.
Hey, our show today brought to you by the good folks at ShareFile, Citrix ShareFile by name. I love ShareFile and use it every single week because I have to send files to my friends at radio stations. You know, the radio show I do is on a couple hundred radio stations all over the country, and I'm always recording stuff for them. And I used to use other file sharing technologies, and it would just baffle them. And I'm not sharing it with engineers, with technology people. Most of the time I'm sharing it with the people who do the ads at the radio station. They're not, geeks. ShareFile's such a good solution for this. In business nowadays, we always have to share files, PowerPoint presentations, contracts, PDFs, invoices, and yes, audio and video and pictures. But the worst way to do it is as an email attachment. Well, first of all, it's insecure. I always tell people, don't use attachments. Don't send attachments. Don't open attachments. That's how viruses get spread. It's also an issue because these attachments tend to be very big. The bounce back problem is very real, and it's not secure because all along the way, anybody can see that attachment. If you're sending somebody a contract as an email attachment, you don't know who's reading that. ShareFile solves that problem. Instead of sending an email attachment, ShareFile sends a secure link. It also solves the problem of inexperienced end users because they get a link, they click it in the email. It opens a browser. In my case, it has the Twit logo, so it's kind of, I can see what I'm getting. It tells what the file is. Here's an audio file. It's WAV. There's a big button that says download, and that's it. They don't have to sign up. They don't have to do anything. I can even control who can get it. I can password protect it. I can say how many times they can download it. I can automatically expire it. You could say this is good for a week, a month, a year, forever. You don't lose control of the files. There isn't the issue of bounce backs. You can send giant files, like gigabyte-sized files. And it's really secure. I want you to try Citrix ShareFile right now. There's a whole file sharing side to it, too, by the way. I use the sync program. It syncs my Citrix folders. I can say which folders are getting synced to the Citrix cloud. I can access that cloud anywhere on my smart. They have apps for the smartphone on any desktop, so I can get those files. I can email. I mean, I have all this control over what's going on, and it makes it very easy. If I go home, and this happens sometimes, I forget to send it out to somebody, and I'm home, and I don't want to have to come back to work. I don't have to. I open up Citrix ShareFile on my phone, say send that file, and it's done. There's lots more. I want you to try it for 30 days. You'll really be amazed at the variety and scope of functionality. Visit ShareFile.com. Now, you do have to do me a little bit of a favor here. You'll see start your free 30-day trial. I'm sure you're tempted to do it there. But if you would, if you could go up to the top of the page, it's just a little fine print. It says podcast list. Here, podcast listeners, click here. please do that, because then if you click that link, you'll be able to write in the special word, Windows. You're not going to get any more for it. You still get a 30-day free trial, but Paul and Mary Jo get credit for the ad, and that's what I really want. That way they'll know. We don't get paid extra or anything, but that way they'll know you heard about it on Windows Weekly, and that's a good thing. Do choose your industry, too, because ShareFile is HIPAA-compliant, compliant with financial regulations in the finance industry. A lot of industries have some special rules, and Citrix ShareFile is designed for those businesses. Try it today free. Visit ShareFile.com. Click the microphone at the very top of the page and get your 30-day free trial. But do use the offer code Windows, if you would. ShareFile.com. Leo Laporte, Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, Windows Weekly. We're talking about the latest Windows and Microsoft news. They are in Vegas, you might note, if you're watching video. They are in duplicate hotel rooms on opposite sides of the beautiful Aria Hotel in Las Vegas. Surface Pro, out of stock. You know, I just talked to somebody. You're going to like this. Gosh, I hope I can repeat this. I won't say his name. Very famous person. Celebrity. Oscar winner. Who is a Mac guy, an iPad guy. Just got a Surface Pro and loves it.
Mm, oh. Interesting.
Yeah. So there's some awareness going on of the Surface Pro. Mm-hmm. I think he likes the tablet aspect of this. This guy's a geek. I mean, he's been a computer guy for years. So it's selling out everywhere. That's good news. Does that mean they didn't make enough, or that means it's really finally they've got it?
We don't know. That's the problem.
We don't know.
To be fair, I really do think this has been the most successful and popular Surface device. I think they've hit on the right combination of features and form factor, size, et cetera. I think they've really gotten it right this time. So, right.
So you're talking about the Pro 3. We should be clear. What sold out is the Surface Pro 3.
Right. Because, the new one, yeah.
Right. The other ones are selling out, too. Surface 2 is selling out in a lot of places, but we're not hearing any plans for Microsoft to restock that.
Right.
They say they're going to restock Surface Pro 3, especially in the countries outside the U.S. that just got it. That's already sold out in a lot of those countries. They're going to restock that. We don't know about Surface Pro 2. They're not going to restock. Surface 2, the ARM one, I don't think they're restocking that. Every time they come out with a new Surface, they want to sell out the inventory of the older ones and then start selling the next version. That's how that's working.
Does it mean there'll be a Surface Pro 4 in a month? No.
In fact, you would wait till
the next version of Windows, right? We'll talk about in the spring, there'll be a 4.
When you think about the timing of that, July to next August, April, right, if that's still true, roughly 9-month-ish, time frame. That's pretty much what the Pro life cycle has been so far. Yeah. I mean, I actually think that's a little aggressive, but we know new chipsets from Intel are coming out and have come out and should be in this device. I mean, hopefully the next version, they don't need to change the form factor again. They can just improve the innards and all that kind of stuff. But
What we don't know is, are they going to do a Surface 3, right?
Yeah. What does that mean? You mean like an RT version?
Yep.
Right.
Because, the Surface Mini was supposed to be based on ARM and running Windows RT. They scrapped that. So the question is, are they going to do another Surface, ARM-based Surface tablet or not? And I am going to be very surprised if they do one. At least not this year, I would say. Maybe next year, but I don't know. I just feel like Microsoft's moving more in the Intel direction now.
Windows RT seems to be fading in the rearview mirror fast.
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
And with the low cost, with the 8-inch devices running Pro, they're $200.
Leo, I just bought a 7-inch Windows tablet for $119.
I mean, why even make RT? I mean, really, what's the market? You got a tablet? You got touch?
I want something that does less. Do you have one of those? Does it cost more, too? Yeah, let me have one.
Yeah, I see no market.
I don't understand it. It makes no sense. Yeah.
Is Windows on ARM dead?
No.
Is that saying the same thing?
Windows on ARM is not dead because in Threshold, they're going to have that SKU that's the combined phone and Windows RT SKU for tablets. Yeah. So, but the question is anybody going to make tablets that run the tablet version of it? Or is that going to end up being an Intel and phone skew somehow. I don't know.
Well, by the way, if that thing turns out to look more like Windows Phone and less like Windows RT, that could be successful.
Well, it's kind of ironic.
The thoughts I had about Windows Phone was this would be great on a tablet.
As phones get bigger and bigger and bigger, the distinction narrows. Yeah. I mean, a 6-inch, the 1520, 6-inch, that feels like a tablet.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I imagine there'll be, well, I mean, I think RT's gone. Can we just say RT's gone?
No.
Not officially, but.
Not officially.
I see no market niche for it.
So you remember when they announced Windows RT, there were a lot of reasons they touted that as being a good operating system. One was you wouldn't have Windows rot like you have on Intel-based Windows. Yeah. There were all kinds of different security mechanisms in place that were on Windows RT that weren't in the Intel version. So some of those arguments still exist.
Oh, no, they absolutely, they still exist. You know, if you bought a Windows PC and didn't install a single piece of desktop software or driver or utility or whatever, and just use the modern environment and went for a year or two, that thing would run great. But that's not what people do. They muck it up. And a lot of the problems that people attribute to Windows, probably fairly, really are you know, because of these third-party things that they're installing, whatever they may be. And, you know, Windows RT offered us a respite from that kind of stuff. You know, it was an actual mobile platform.
Although, hasn't Intel kind of met the challenge?
No, it's not Intel. Intel has absolutely met the challenge from the power management perspective, performance, battery life, all that stuff. That's not the point. It's still Windows, right? And so if you're giving someone a Windows computer, like a mini tablet that they can install iTunes on and Java and Flash and some weird driver for some old peripheral, you know, that stuff's still going to muck around with Windows. It's still allowed to destroy Windows, you know, from the inside or whatever. You can't do that to Windows RT. So it's more limited, but it's also, you know, better.
There is a place, I think, for a Windows RT device running Touch First Office and no other Win32 apps. It's a very specialized device, maybe, but there is a place for that. The question is, who's going to make it? Is it going to be Microsoft, another OEM, and how are they going to position it, right?
They just released it too early.
Yeah. And they did it in part to pressure Intel. I mean, that, remember?
Yeah,
that
it worked. They got the job
it
done.
It did.
Intel said, arms eating our lunch. Quick. Well, I want to be the first to say I was wrong about the Surface Pro 3.
Really? What did you say? You didn't like it?
No, I wasn't specifically about the Surface Pro 3. I felt like Microsoft may be misguided in doing the Surface.
And
certainly the evidence after the first two was there. I'm thrilled because to hear that Surface Pro 3 is doing well, because that's important. It's important to have this platform, and the OEMs aren't abandoning Windows. That was the other cause for concern. You know, it would be the worst possible scenario that the Microsoft creates a hardware platform that flops and convinces everybody else to stop making Windows machines. That would be bad. That didn't happen, so I was wrong.
That was a weird worry for a while.
Yeah.
You know, with Surface, previous Surface Pro 3 and with Windows 8 as well, you know, kind of co-developed, there was a certain reality distortion field going on there where, you know, they would make these justifications for what they were doing, and you'd kind of look at them like, that doesn't compute. But when you look at the justification for Surface Pro 3 and – yeah, you see a hint of something we're going to see in Windows finally, which is that this notion of people told us they wanted this, and here it is. You know, I like to see that kind of stuff. And I just feel like this addresses a much more realistic market than the original Surface devices did.
Well, they got it right.
Yeah. Quickly, too. I mean, you know, for whatever it's worth. I mean, they did kind of ramp it up.
Solace for people who bought Surface 1 or 2.
Yeah.
But now going forward, look, they've got the screen is amazing. It works. It does all the things it's supposed to do. And they fixed all the firmware.
We'll see about that one. Right? Let's not jump the gun. It's only been 6 months. You know, it hasn't been 6 months.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought that up.
That's a sore spot. No, to twist the knife. That's good.
Yeah.
You know, I was sitting in a room the other day in the speaker's room, and across me on the table, there was a guy with a Surface Pro 3, and there was a guy with a Surface Pro 2. And it is fascinating to look at the differences between those machines because the Surface Pro 2 is, you know, very small screen. It's very thick and heavy, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the Surface Pro 3 looks like an ultrabook.
I need to buy a Surface Pro 3. I guess I can't, though, so.
Well, they're not sold out in the U.S. as much as they are in other countries.
In other countries. And they'll make more. Versions are, they'll make more, right?
Oh, yeah, they are making more.
Yeah.
So it's not forever.
No.
They're also making some new hardware accessories. It's funny because this is a market Microsoft has been in from practically day one. I mean, I remember the Microsoft mouse. In fact, one of their first products was a hardware board for the Apple II. So this
CPM,
is
right?
Yeah, people think like, this. But no, Microsoft's been in the accessory business from almost the beginning. Microsoft, I've always had Microsoft mice and keyboards.
Microsoft mice have always been excellent. Yeah. The keyboards have almost universally been excellent.
What am I using on my Mac here? A Microsoft mouse.
But, I mean, I travel with the...
This is good for lefties because it's agnostic. It has no preference.
That's old school layout. Does that have a PS2 port on the end of it?
No, it's a USB mouse. Optical.
It's got a little rubber ball in it.
Yeah, no, it's optical. But it's but this is, you know what? This is one of the greatest mice ever made.
Yeah. Yep.
This thing goes and goes and goes. I mean, I use it every day.
You can use it as a garrote if you have to.
Yeah. I think there's a picture of me going like this.
Right.
So a new tablet keyboard that, surprise, surprise, is cross-platform.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Pretty cool.
In fact, they even don't have a Windows key on them.
Yeah, that's got to be a first for Microsoft keyboard. Yeah.
So, you know, I like Microsoft keyboards. The reason I don't use it on my Mac is because I don't want a Windows key. I have to remember a Windows key. Oh, that's Alt. Mm-hmm. Or Command. I can never remember. So this
keyboard makes a lot of sense for a lot of people. It's Bluetooth based, so you're not going to occupy a port with one of those stupid dongles.
Yeah.
It also works with devices that don't have USB ports, like iOS and Android devices. It has a slot in it, so you can put your tablet in it.
And any tablet in it, right?
And that's neat because unless you have a Surface, you don't have a way to prop up your tablet when you're typing, right? Which is, you know, for a lot of people, yet another goofy thing you have to carry around with you if you want to use it this way. So. I'm waiting to get one of these to review. I'm very curious about this keyboard. This looks really interesting.
I'm not buying that mouse though.
I
don't like those mice. Yeah,
it's sad. They're awesome. They look awesome. They look beautiful, and they're cool. A cool idea that you can collapse them, but it just is not that comfortable.
For people who aren't watching or just listening, it looks like the mouse is doing the downward dog.
Yeah, it's the Arc Touch
every time,
mouse.
Every time you flatten that thing out so you can travel with it, it sounds like you're cracking the back on a lobster.
Not good.
And it's just, I don't know. I'm sure it's supposed to evoke some form of structure and strength. But
like the click.
I always feel like I've just crippled a small animal, you know.
So this new keyboard, which looks a little bit like the Logitech keyboard, but the Logitech keyboard is designed for the iPad and iPad only. This would basically, it's set up in such a way that it could really hold any tablet. That's really neat.
Work with any major OS.
That's so cool. Well, yeah, Bluetooth.
The only thing
it's got a mode for different systems.
Okay.
The only thing it does not work with is a Windows phone. It does work with iPhones and Android phones. Well, we should tell why. Bluetooth HID not yet supported in Windows phone.
Oh, Windows
phone. They don't support that profile, but they never have.
Human interface device profile, which is a base, very fundamental profile. And look, no Windows key. They've got a home key, which I guess is true on most tablets, have home keys, an Alt/Option. That's the Apple fan key, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Command. Those two keys right there are Mac keys, right? So
that's interesting. Boy,
I mean, obviously in the Windows mode, the home key would work as a Windows key. The Option-Alt key would work as Alt, you know.
And I think this is, if you want to take Satya's statement to the Rotary Club and make it in hardware, this is it.
Oh, that's exactly how I described it, you know. And this summer has been very interesting because after months of, a lot of blah, 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 you know, mobile first, cloud first, the future of the company. It's like, so when is then now, you know? They've started releasing stuff where you say, that's where then is now, you know. And this is the first sort of hardware iteration of that, you know, an actual device that gives the reality to what it before was just kind of talk. It's a little thing, right? It's a portable keyboard for tablets, you know, big deal. But this is a first for Microsoft. I think this is very
interesting. There has never been a Microsoft keyboard without a Windows key on it.
Yeah,
Bill Gates is spinning in his grave. I don't know who Bill Gates is, and I'm sorry he's passed away. But
Yeah.
A lot of Microsoft keyboards have those crazy Windows keys that nobody even uses, like the, you know, like the right click key, you know, which people probably just hit by mistake and then wonder what the heck just happened. I mean, yeah.
Print screen. What are those? All those weird keys. There's
all those odd ones.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's kind of, this is coming out next month, October. It's not out yet, I believe. $80. Yep. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
That's a good price. That's $20 less than the Logitech. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a break. How's your time frame, guys? Are you when do you need to get out of here?
Like in about 10 minutes.
All right, let's wrap it up. I can do that. Back of the book. That's about 10 minutes worth. We're talking tips, tools, and beer in just a moment. First,
as we would
every week on Windows Weekly. What's more important than tips, tools, and beer? Our show today is brought to you by the good people at Shutterstock.com. If you have a website, if you're a blogger, for instance, and you're not putting images on each and every blog post, you're really missing a lot of the audience. If you're making films, was it Guardian of the Galaxies? It has a credit at the end for Shutterstock. That's because Shutterstock offers sound effects, music tracks, and video that even Hollywood uses. All of these are royalty-free. Shutterstock has a huge variety. It's getting close to infinite at this point. 42,093,250 royalty-free stock images. They added 342,000 last week alone. Now, you might say, well, that's a lot. How am I going to find what I want? Oh, they have the best search engine. Let's see. We will search for smartphone. All right. And you can see it kind of googly. It offers you autocomplete suggestions. But let's say if you just search for smartphone, now we're going to get a lot of smartphone images, of course. But now let's refine our search. So I can say I only want photos, or I only want vectors, or I only want illustrations. You could say let's only get horizontal orientation or vertical. You could choose categories. So I can have smartphones in nature, smartphones in holiday smartphones. You could say happy smartphones. You can use emotions. You can say only images with people, only images without people, only images with men, women, both genders, only images of certain ages, ethnicities, number of people. It goes on and on. They even have a color wheel. You could say, I only want purple images of smartphones because that's got to match my blog. This in many respects is the best search engine outside of Google anywhere, and it's just for Shutterstock. Don't forget, when you visit Shutterstock, there's tabs at the top. You start with images, but you can also click the footage tab and see some of the most beautiful stock video and music, too. So there's lots of musical clips you can use. Dramatic and theatric trailers and promos, sweet dreams, presentations, calm, ethereal, bittersweet, sophisticated. Choose the sounds you need for your production. Now, here's the deal. Please make an account. It's free to do so. You do not have to give them a credit card. That'll give you a couple of benefits. One, you can take any of these images, any of these vectors or photos or videos, and store them in light boxes. That helps you keep track of them, use them for inspiration. You don't have to buy them to put them in a light box. You can even share them with colleagues. But it also gives you access to the free images every week, a free video, free image clip. So that's kind of nice, too. The photo of the week, the vector of the week. This is a good one, Paul. Paul, you should use these on your blog. These are fun. We have a subscription. 25 images a day, which is great for a business that does a lot of blogging, that kind of thing. If you use our offer code Windows914, you'll get 20% off one of those image subscription packages. That's a very good deal. 20% off. The offer code is Windows914, but it's absolutely free to create a Shutterstock account. So please do that. You don't need a credit card. It's only when you buy that you're going to want to use that offer code Windows914. This is, of course, September 2014. We are fans of Shutterstock. We use them all the time, and I think you will too. So get that account right now. Shutterstock.com. Royalty-free everything for you. Back of the book we go, and it starts with a Paul Thurrott software pick of the week.
Or four software picks of the week.
Wow.
Yeah, the Office guys had a bunch of releases yesterday, I think it was, including the craziest one of all, which is OneNote for Android Wear. So I happened to bring my Android Wear watch on me with me on this trip, so I got to test this out. But you can install OneNote for Android Wear, and I you know, I don't really know how this works, but I have to assume that the way you know, the way OK Google works is that you have to, as a developer, register for like a phrase. So I think Microsoft got the phrase "take a note." So you say, "Oh, okay, that's Google." Awesome.
Yeah,
yeah. It's the interface is minimal to the point of
okay, Google
being a what?
Take a
well,
note.
Well, I mean, and then it's not even clear. So when you look at the screen, it's not even really clear what's happening. But what you're supposed to do at that point is just dictate your note.
Yeah, the first time it says, "Here's the note-taking applications you have," and now OneNote shows up along with Keep and Evernote were the only two choices before.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
And so you will choose a default for future reference, and then from now on, when you just dictate it, it goes into OneNote. That's great.
Yeah, actually, I when I first heard about this, I thought this has got to be the first note-taking application for Android Wear, but no, Evernote was already there. So anyway, it's actually, to this moment, I should look this up. I'll look this up while Mary Jo's during her bit, but I don't know where this goes. I haven't found it yet. You know, typically these OneNote type things go to Quick Notes in your default notebook, but
I can try.
I haven't actually seen my notes shown up. So anyway, you can dictate it. It's pretty good. You know, it's if you've ever used voice dictation software on iOS or Android, you know, it's usually pretty good. And it works, so whatever. So you can be Dick Tracy.
Okay. Let me see.
They also released a new version of OneNote for iOS 8, which just came out today. What this means is that you can now integrate OneNote into the share functionality, which is new to iOS 8. And if you're following this kind of thing, you know that Apple is opening up iOS 8 now to extensibility for the first time by third parties. And so they can have, you know, keyboards and this share type thing. And this is cool. So from any application that supports the share functionality, you can choose OneNote as a target. So you can share any, you know, a web page or whatever in Safari to OneNote. And so that's cool. One of my favorite applications for Windows Phone, this has been a pick twice because they've updated it exactly twice, is Office Lens. And that was updated a third time this week. And you can now create Word documents and PowerPoint presentations from your scanned images. And so if you scan a document which has text in it, you know that Office Lens saves that as a graphic, but you can now use Office Lens to save it as a Word document that gets saved to OneDrive. And then, of course, you can edit it however you'd like. And so that gives you that kind of optical character recognition thing. And if you use Office Lens to save a whiteboard, which is one of the modes, you can save that as a PowerPoint presentation. And that, too, will pull out the words and graphics and put them into a slide. And so
think of the possibilities of that with a beer menu.
Right, actually, yes.
I was like, wow, this is going to be my new go-to app.
Love it.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. The other thing is, I don't think we talked about this last week. I think this might have happened right after the show, but last Wednesday, Microsoft upgraded OneDrive, the service, to support 10 gigabyte files, a huge increase over the previous 2 gigabyte support. And so that works across everything. And what that means is if you have a PC or Mac, you can upload gigantic video files now to OneDrive if that's the type of thing you want to back up there. And, of course, OneDrive works everywhere, and so that's kind of a cool capability. Tip of the week, a little simpler. I won't beat this one to death here because it's a big and complex topic, but I bought a MacBook Air recently and have been writing again about running Windows on a Mac. This is something I used to spend a lot of time on. I haven't looked at it recently, and so I've been very curious to see how things have changed. And what I found is that however you choose to do it, boot camp or virtualization tend to be the two big choices. Those things have both improved in very important ways. There's also a third way to do this. You can run something like I forgot the name of it, but there's a way to run individual Windows applications under a Mac or Linux
Coherence.
Without installing Windows.
Coherence.
No, it's like cross something. Oh boy, sorry.
You have to install Windows, right?
No, you don't. That's the point. So yeah, so I'll get to that one. I haven't even really spent much time on that yet, but I will get to that.
Crossover.
So far, I've just written a few crossover.
Yeah,
crossover. Yeah, crossover.
Yeah, that's kind of like wine. It's
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. So. I guess the quickie, you know, spoil the end of the story kind of conclusion is that, and this was never the case before, at least not in the past, but virtualization is actually a much better option than boot camp as far as like performance, battery life. You have to put up with some of the weirdism of running macOS 10 and Windows side by side, and there are different ways you can do that and some crazy integration capabilities that are just really amazing. And so I'll be writing a lot more about that. I've written the boot camp part of it. I haven't published that part yet, but I've been writing some introductory articles that are up, and I should have more of that available later.
I would love to get that because I do, in fact, run Windows all the time on Mac.
Yeah,
and I've never used Crossover.
Parallels.
Crossover is the commercial side of Wine, I think. Yeah, I think I use VMware, but it's the same idea. And
it works. I mean,
it works really well.
If you're used to, so I think the thing I would say to people is that if you're a Windows user and you want, and you've been sort of attracted to this Apple hardware, which is understandable, I actually don't think that's the way to go. I think you'd be better off with a Windows laptop. But for a Mac user that has the need to run certain Windows applications, the integrated approach with a virtualization solution, whether it's Parallels or VMware or anything else, is really interesting because the key combinations that you used to continue to work in Windows. And so if you use Command C to copy and paste, copy and then Command V to paste, you can actually use those in Windows too under that system. And I think that makes a lot more sense for those people.
It does and, for me, the, yeah.
Yeah, and you can bring up a Windows app in a window. Yeah, right. So like, OneNote is on the Mac and it's great, but Office on the Mac is terrible. And if you want to run Office 2013 for Windows, it comes up as a window on the Mac desktop. You can integrate between the Mac apps with the Windows apps, and I think it works great. So I'll write a lot more about it. I was just surprised that virtualization was a much better solution than it used to be.
I do both. I'll do boot camp, and then both VMware and Parallels will note that there's a boot camp install and say, "Oh, good, we'll just use that." So you can choose, whether you want to use Bootcamp or you want to use emulation. You know, when I use Bootcamp, Michael, when he's playing, Steam game, PC games, games, you want all of the hardware.
Yeah.
So he reboots into Windows.
Oh, I'm actually using Windows under Bootcamp on right here. I mean, this is, I'm using a Mac. Yeah.
Well, I won't tell anybody.
That's okay. I put a Windows sticker on it, Leo. It's good.
He did. I saw it.
It lights up, too.
I got to do that. You see that in movies and TV when they're running Windows computers.
Yeah.
And no Windows computer ever.
I know. Has that Windows
has logo? That logo on it.
Why don't they do that? That would be so awesome. I don't understand.
I think, here's what I think. I think they're just like you. I think they're using Macintoshes. And they just put the Windows logo on it.
Yeah. That's good. That could be.
Enterprise time, Mary Jo Foley.
Yep, Enterprise Pick of the Week is a new version of Azure Active Directory. So remember, it used to be called WAD, Windows Azure Active Directory.
And but we now had such fun with that.
We did. And now it's just odd.
AAD.
No W. AAD, Azure Active Directory. So right up until this week, you've had a choice of a free version of Azure Active Directory or the premium version. This week, they added a middle tier called Basic. So Basic gives you all the same service abilities that you have with the free version. So you can manage user accounts and sync with your on-prem directories, get single sign-on, all that good stuff. But then you also get support for people who they call task workers. So, if you're at Starbucks and you're a barista, that's a task worker. Someone who you need to provision an account for that person. But they're not somebody who's necessarily going to need access to all the apps that everybody else at the company has. New middle tier, The new middle tier called Basic.
Is there somebody under that table tickling you?
I'm going to have a really long day today. I already did a whole session before
She's
Windows
exhausted.
Weekly.
I'm
and then we've
sorry.
Got another one after this. No, it's good. All right. It's just all talking all the time, which I'm not used to. So this is the basic version I'm talking about. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
$1 per user per month.
Great.
The premium one is $4 per user per month. So it gives
Still
people who
yeah,
it's a really good deal. And of course, if you want the premium version, you can also go for $4 per user per month for the Enterprise Mobility Suite, the full thing where you get Intune and you get Azure Active Directory Premium and you get the rights management. That's the real deal. You should go for the bundle if you're going to go for the big guy. But if you don't need the big guy, go for the middle tier.
You say that even if you're tired, you look marvelous. That lighting, just gorgeous, just gorgeous. Let's get our code name of the week.
Yeah. So the codename we've already mentioned today, but I wanted to touch on it a little more. So Spartan, which we mentioned is the codename for the next version of IE, comes from Threshold. But you know what? Since I don't play all these
comes
games.
Comes from Halo. Like Threshold. Sorry.
Yes.
And Cortana.
Like Threshold, yeah. Cortana, yeah. Halo. Yeah. I'm curious if people in the chat room or at Paul or you know why, what the significance might be of them calling it Spartan. Like, is there some hidden meaning here about this?
Well, the Spartans are the heroes in Halo.
Right. So were they talking about IE-12 as like the hero release maybe, or like going to conquer the doubters or something? I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much.
They're super soldiers, right? The Spartans, aren't they? They're like heavy-duty.
Yeah.
So maybe it's the super soldier version of IE.
Right? IE, super soldier version. Yeah, that's
I am Explorer!
Yeah, I just thought it's funny because they're taking more and more code names from that. So it's going to be interesting to see what else comes next as other code names from the franchise.
I expect Minecraft code names soon.
Yeah. Yep.
You're going to have Windows 10 Creeper.
Yep.
Yep. Windows 11.
Windows Phone Steve.
Notch, whatever that guy's name is.
We're definitely going to have Chad on as a guest to help us.
We're going to have to definitely. Chad's going to have to decode all this for us.
Yes.
Right. Let's give you some beer. I think Mary Jo needs a beer before she goes back to work. What do you got for us?
I think so. I haven't done a pumpkin beer yet.
It's going to be that time of year.
Yeah, so I had a really great one that has a great name. Rhodes Mary's Baby.
Oh, that's awesome.
The Road is because awesome. It's Two Roads Brewing Company. I get it. Road.
Right. So, you know, so many pumpkin beers are super sweet or they're so over nutmegged or over cinnamon. This one was really good, and they've aged it in rum barrels.
Ooh.
So it gives it a nice little touch of something that you can't quite identify. But it's only 6.8%, even though it was aged in rum barrels. Hmm. So it's something you could drink a few of.
I like this.
You do taste a little spice, some vanilla, some oak. It's very good. I was very happy with this one.
From the Two Roads Brewing Company, Rhodes Mary's Baby.
And from Connecticut. So if you're on the East Coast, you might be able to find that.
I like the idea of a rum barrel.
Yeah.
You know what? We really got a jet.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's it for this edition of Winners Weekly. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye-bye. See you later, guys. Have a great time. We'll see you next week.
Sorry.
And a little programming note, we will be doing Windows Weekly on Tuesday, September 30th. Paul and Mary Jo are going to that Microsoft briefing for the brand new version of Windows Threshold, the technical preview. So they will have lots to say about the next version of Windows. That's 2 weeks from now. So next Wednesday we'll be here, as we are most Wednesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC for Windows Weekly. On September 30th, a very special Windows Weekly, about 1 p.m. Pacific. They're going to flip-flop with Steve Gibson. So right after Mac Break Weekly. Paul and Mary Jo will drive up here from their meetings with Microsoft and have the latest on Microsoft's new version of Windows, September 30th. Set your clock, set your timer. Okay, Google, and make sure that you are here for that. That should be good. Around about 1:30, depends how long it takes them to get up here from San Francisco, September 30th. We thank you for joining us. I hope you can join us live. We love having you here, but if you can't, on-demand audio and video, always available. At all the places you get your podcasts, iTunes, the Xbox Music Store, and I should really say probably for most of us nowadays, most importantly, on our mobile devices, whether it's Windows Phone, iOS, or Android, there are Twit apps, some really nice one on Windows Phone. There are podcast apps, of course. There are lots of ways to listen, but make sure you get it each and every week. You don't want to miss an episode. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.